Baron Trump's marvelous underground journey is more than just a 19th century adventure tale. It's a remarkable literary curiosity that has experienced an unexpected resurgence in recent years. Written by Ingersoll Lockwood in 1893, this fantastical tale follows the adventures of a wealthy young aristocrat with an unusually large head and his loyal dog Bulger as they journey to the center of the earth. The book gained sudden popularity in 2017 when readers noticed the protagonist's surname matched that of President Donald Trump, whose youngest son is named Baron. Even more intriguing, Lockwood's sequel, 1900, or The Last President, describes a populist president who causes upheaval in New York City. Coincidences that led some to wonder if these obscure Victorian novels somehow predicted the future. Regardless of these peculiar parallels, Baron Trump's underground odyssey stands on its own as a delightful precursor to later works like The Hobbit, offering readers a window into the imaginative Victorian adventure genre. Baron Wilhelm Heinrich Sebastian von Trump, affectionately known as Little Baron Trump, was the final descendant of a distinguished Huguenot family. His ancestors, originally named De La Trump, fled religious persecution in France following the revocation of the Edict of Nantes in 1685. After seeking refuge in Holland, they changed their name to Von der Trump before eventually settling in Pomerania at the invitation of the Elector of Brandenburg, where they became the noble Von Trump family. Despite his diminutive stature, the little baron possessed an insatiable curiosity and wanderlust that drove him to explore the world from an incredibly young age. His castle became a repository of exotic curiosities gathered during his extensive travels, earning him a reputation among local peasants as part magician. A portrait hanging in Stettin's Rathaus depicts this curious figure. A small man with an oversized head, dressed in unusual garments, accompanied by his dignified dog, Bulger. The Baron's intellectual appetite matched his adventurous spirit. We first encounter him deeply absorbed in reading a 15th-century manuscript by the mysterious Don Fum, which describes a world within a world accessible through portals in northern Russia. When his faithful companion Bulger falls into low spirits, annoyed by the familiarity of village dogs and presumptuous house cats, the dog dramatically presents his old traveling clothes, signaling his desire for new adventures. Understanding his companion's restlessness, the Baron resolves to seek these underground portals despite his parents' sadness at his impending departure. This touching scene reveals the deep bond between the Baron and Bulger. Not merely master and pet, but true companions who understand each other without words. It also establishes the Baron's character as one who values knowledge, exploration, and family honor above personal comfort, setting the stage for the extraordinary journey to come. The Baron's journey to find the entrance to the underground world was fraught with danger from the start. Following Don Fume's cryptic manuscript, which indicated the portals lay somewhere in northern Russia on the western slope of the Upper Urals, the Baron and Bulger traveled first to Petersburg, then northward across frozen lakes Ladoga and Onega to reach Archangel on the White Sea. From there, they continued along frozen rivers to Illich on the Illich, where spring had begun to melt the snow. After parting with their government servants, they hired a teamster named Ivan to take them 100 miles farther north toward the Ural Mountains. As they reached the 100th milestone, Ivan's behavior deteriorated dramatically. He became surly, rebellious, and began drinking heavily at a roadside tavern, prompting the tavern keeper to warn the Baron about his driver's dangerous mood. The situation came to a violent head when the drunken Ivan, who had been rambling fearfully about something called the Giant's Well, attempted to overturn their wagon. When confronted, Ivan struck the Baron in the temple with his loaded whipstock and prepared to deliver a fatal second blow. At this critical moment, Bulger leapt at Ivan's throat while the Baron shot him in the forearm. The Baron fainted from his injury, only to awaken and find Bulger miraculously driving the Tarantass, holding the reins in his teeth, a sight so extraordinary that peasants who stopped the horses exclaimed they'd never see such a thing, even if they lived long enough to fill the giant's well with pebbles. This reference to the giant's well, repeated by an old woman healer who tended to the baron's wound, provided the crucial clue they needed. The giant's well turned out to be the entrance to the underground world, a massive funnel-shaped depression in the earth that Don Fume had named Polyphemus's Funnel. The baron's ingenuity was tested immediately when he discovered the pipe at the bottom was too small for his body. Coating himself with slippery black lead and binding his shoulders inward, he lowered himself into the pipe with a weight attached to his feet. This harrowing descent nearly ended in disaster when he became stuck where the pipe had a screw-like thread. As his strength failed, faithful Bulger leaped up, caught the rope in his teeth, and pulled him free, the first of many instances where the dog's intelligence and devotion would save his master's life. Thus began their extraordinary journey through the world within a world. The Baron's first encounter in the underground world was with the Mikamenkis, or transparent folk, a race of small, see-through people with the remarkable ability to display their hearts through openings in their garments. Master Cold Soul, a solemn figure with a baby face who served as court depressor, explained that his role was to check excessive happiness among his people, who might otherwise waste time in idle merriment. The Mikamenkis' transparency extended beyond their physical appearance to their very nature. Falsehood was impossible among them, as their crystal-clear eyes would cloud at the slightest deception. Their society functioned on complete honesty, with thoughts detectable through their transparent bodies, though feelings could be hidden with black fans when desired. No one was permitted to look upon another's heart without permission, a custom that ensured happy marriages as couples could see the true strength of each other's love before committing. Their world was equally fascinating, mirror-faced lakes and rivers teeming with fish, gardens growing delicate white vegetables, and silk harvested from huge night moths dwelling in dark caverns. Their beautiful city dazzled with white light flooding down upon exquisitely carved entrances, while citizens in flowing silk garments of purple, blue, and vermilion hurried about their business. Queen Galaxa, who reclined majestically on a crystal throne in flowing royal purple silk, welcomed the Baron warmly and knighted Bulger as Lord Bulger after being impressed by his elegant manners. She assigned three wise Mikamenkis, Dr. Nebulosus, Sir Amber Opaque, and Lord Cornucore, to guide the visitors during their stay. The most dramatic moment of the Baron's time among the transparent folk came when the damsel Glowstone revealed a shocking truth. She was actually Princess Crystallina, rightful heir to the throne. On the day of her birth, she had been discovered to have a tiny speck in her otherwise perfect crystal heart. Fearing the people would reject an imperfect princess, Queen Galaxa had secretly switched her baby with a serving woman's child born the same day. Using his magnifying glass and the help of Dr. Nebulosus, the Baron arranged to project an image of Crystallina's heart onto the wall of the throne room, revealing to all that the speck was merely a tiny ruby-colored drop of royal blood from the upper world. The Mikamenkis immediately embraced Crystallina as their rightful princess, crying, "Long live the fair Princess Crystallina with the ruby speck in her heart!" As the Baron prepared to continue his journey, Princess Crystallina whispered her love to him, but wise Bulger gently dragged his master away, knowing they must press on to discover more wonders of the underground world. After leaving the Mikamenkis realm, the Baron and Bulger encountered perhaps the most remarkable underground dwellers, the Pseudopses, or Formafolk, a race of brownie-like beings with large heads, pipe-stemmy legs, and staring glassy eyes. These curious people were completely blind, deaf, and mute, relying entirely on their extraordinarily acute sense of touch to navigate their world. The Pseudopses communicated through a sophisticated pressure language of finger taps and used a remarkable system of writing on thin silver leaves with styluses. After initial wariness, they measured the Baron's and Bulger's heartbeats through a silken cord with silver discs to determine their nature, fascinated by Bulger's rapid heartbeat. These underground dwellers had lost their sight generations ago from exposure to gas flames, and subsequently lost hearing and speech in the eternal silence of their subterranean home. Despite these limitations, they maintained shadowy traditions of the upper world, though with curious misconceptions, believing shadows to be actual dancing specters that followed surface dwellers. The Baron was permitted to enter their magnificent city of silver only after solemnly promising that his dancing specter, his shadow, would behave itself. The metropolis was a breathtaking sight of silver buildings illuminated by countless never-dying flames that provided both light and deliciously balmy air. The irony struck the Baron deeply. This breathtaking beauty existed solely for him and Bulger to appreciate, as the inhabitants themselves could never see it. The Pseudopses lived up to their nickname as human ants, always industriously working, carving, weaving, and creating despite their blindness. Their city streets were organized by literary genre, with poetry, history, philosophy, and stories each having their own areas. Most remarkably, street names, house numbers, and even entire books were written in raised letters on the silver pavements. The Pseudopses read with their sensitive feet. Barrowbrow, their most learned citizen, shared the fascinating history of his people. Ages ago, they had lived in a beautiful land with vast oceans, possessing all five senses. They were renowned metalworkers until catastrophe struck. The world shifted, turning their land away from the sun's warmth. Several hundred metalworking families took refuge in underground caverns, eventually discovering vast chambers filled with pure silver where they built their city. The Pseudopses had found the secret to happiness through their blindness. When the Baron asked if they truly had no rulers or overseers, Barrowbrow explained that vanity makes men desire leadership. If people of the upper world could rid themselves of eyes and ears, no one would desire to rule, for rulers crave being seen and hearing flattery. The Baron's departure from the City of Silver came after he solved the mystery of a missing Pseudopse named Pounding Lip, who had been devoured by a prehistoric tortoise awakened from the city's warmth. After humanely dispatching the monster with deadly vapor, the grateful Formafolk transformed its magnificent shell into an exquisite boat, with silver prow, oars, and rudder for the Baron's continued journey. After navigating treacherous waters and battling massive white crabs, the Baron and Bulger entered a region of increasing cold, eventually discovering magnificent ice caverns illuminated by actual sunlight. This light streamed through a gigantic lens of purest rock crystal set in the mountain's side, a natural window that focused the outer world's sunshine into this icy realm, creating a breathtaking spectacle of frozen lakes and waterfalls locked in eternal crystal sleep. Here dwelled the Koltykwerps, a race of stocky, good-natured folk with small, honest gray eyes and broad smiles, all clad in snow-white furs. Their magnificent palace of ice stood upon the highest terrace, its minarets, towers, and turrets glittering in the sunlight as if studded with countless jewels. King Gelidus ruled this frozen kingdom from an icy throne with his daughter Princess Schneeball at his feet. The king welcomed the Baron coldly, warning him not to touch anything with his dangerously warm hands. Indeed, when Princess Schneeball touched just the tip of the Baron's thumb, she squealed and blew on her finger from the heat. The Baron befriended Lord Hathead, or Bully Brain, a unique Koltykwerp born with an unusually active brain whom the king had been trying unsuccessfully to refrigerate for 50 years. From him, the Baron learned the fascinating history of the Koltykwerps, who originally inhabited Greenland when it was a paradise of blue skies and green meadows. When massive ice mountains drove them from their homeland, they fled to northern Russia's once sunny shores, only to be overwhelmed by advancing ice fields. The rapid freezing preserved countless animals in their flight, which now served as the Koltykwerp's meat quarries. The most dramatic moment of the Baron's stay came when Princess Schneeball showed him the little man with the frozen smile, a small chimpanzee perfectly preserved in a magnificent block of crystal ice. After much persuasion, King Gelidus permitted the Baron to open the crystal prison to examine the mysterious collar around the creature's neck. To the Baron's astonishment, the creature, whom he named Fufkuja from his contented cries, was revived after thousands of years when Bulger lay beside him and warmed him back to life. This miraculous revival caused unprecedented excitement among the normally placid Koltykwerps, who began moving quicker, talking faster, and even showing faint color in their cold cheeks. However, new problems arose when Fufkuja rejected his cold-blooded attendant and the Baron's attempt to warm his chamber caused the ice walls to melt. King Gelidus decreed that if no solution could be found, Fufkuja must die. Princess Schneebo proposed that a deep, warm hood be made for the Baron's coat where Fufkuja could nestle against his warmth. The arrangement proved unsustainable as Fufkuja's weight increased, eventually causing the Baron to fall ill with fever. The story ended tragically when Princess Schneeball held Fufkuja in her icy embrace, accidentally killing him. The little man with the frozen smile was returned to his crystal prison, restoring peace to the kingdom. After departing King Gelidus's realm through a carefully selected ice portal, the Baron and Bulger experienced a terrifying plunge when their ice block broke free and careened down an icy corridor for a full hour. Upon reaching the bottom, they discovered a new wonder, a broad river inhabited by enormous phosphorescent sea creatures that illuminated magnificent white marble caverns with their multicolored radiance. In this tropical region of the underworld, the Baron encountered the Rattlebrains, or Happy Forgetters, people who had deliberately worked to unload their brains of knowledge until their minds had literally shrunken like dried kernels, clicking when they moved their heads suddenly. These peculiar folk cultivated forgetfulness, believing knowledge to be the source of all human misery. They took pride in their shrunken brains, with the loudest click signifying the greatest achievement in forgetting. Despite the Baron's fascination, the Happy Forgetters viewed his large head with horror and reluctantly permitted him only a single day's stay before expulsion. Their peaceful community lived in marble caverns illuminated by mineral wax candles, sustained themselves on fungus plants and shellfish broths, and wore clothes woven from mineral wool. When the Baron's time expired, they escorted him to a great marble revolving door. Once inside, he and Bulger found themselves in a dimly lit tunnel glowing with luminous rootlets. Choosing the right path, they were suddenly caught in a violent air current that transformed into a raging torrent, shooting them through the tunnel at terrifying speed until they were dramatically expelled into the sunshine of northeastern Siberia. After speaking with local peasants, the Baron proudly realized he had completed a remarkable 500-mile journey under the Ural Mountains. Following a pleasant stay in St. Petersburg, he journeyed homeward, where his parents and the entire castle eagerly awaited his return, bringing to a close one of the most extraordinary adventures ever recorded. At the heart of this fantastic tale lies the extraordinary relationship between the Baron and his faithful dog Bulger, a partnership that transcends the typical master-pet dynamic to become one of history's most memorable literary duos. Far from being merely a companion animal, Bulger demonstrates remarkable intelligence, loyalty, and courage throughout their journey. His intuitive understanding of complex situations begins even before their adventure starts, when he deliberately retrieves his old traveling clothes from storage and places them at his master's feet, signaling not just a desire for adventure, but displaying an almost human capacity for planning and communication. Bulger's heroic acts punctuate the narrative with increasing significance. His most spectacular feat occurs during a brutal attack on their Tarantos, where he displays almost supernatural ability by taking the reins in his teeth and driving the vehicle to safety, an act that showcases both his physical prowess and quick thinking. His acute senses and protective instincts repeatedly prove invaluable, from detecting invisible dangers to anticipating threats before they materialize. The dog's role as protector and guide manifests in numerous life-saving moments, pulling his master free when trapped in Polyphemus's funnel, sensing the hidden dangers behind Princess Kristalina's seemingly innocent romantic overtures, and navigating the treacherous passages of King Gelidus's frozen realm. Perhaps his most touching display of loyalty comes when he uses his own body heat to revive the frozen Fufkaja, an act of compassion that demonstrates both his intelligence and his capacity for empathy. The wise barrel brow of the Pseudopsis observes this special quality in Bulger, noting profoundly that, by going on all fours, he keeps his heart and brains on the same level, the only way to do good for one's fellow creatures. The Baron himself emerges as the quintessential Victorian adventurer, embodying the period's ideals of scientific curiosity and gentlemanly behavior. His character combines the analytical mind of a scientist with the social grace of an aristocrat, allowing him to approach each new situation with both intellectual rigor and diplomatic tact. Whether analyzing the unique properties of underground minerals or navigating delicate political situations, the Baron maintains his composure and scientific objectivity while never losing his fundamental humanity. His intervention in Princess Kristalina's struggle for her throne demonstrates his commitment to justice, while his determined efforts to save Fufkaja reveal his deep compassion. Together, this remarkable pair creates a symphony of complementary strengths. Where the Baron brings human reasoning and scientific methodology, Bulger contributes instinct and unwavering loyalty. Their journey through the underground world becomes more than a mere adventure. It transforms into a testament to the power of partnership and mutual trust. Through treacherous caverns, across frozen wastes, and among strange civilizations, their bond only strengthens, proving that the greatest discoveries and achievements often spring from the combination of different but complementary natures. Their story reminds us that true companionship transcends species, and that the most meaningful adventures are those shared with a trusted friend. Baron Trump's marvelous underground journey stands as a fascinating example of Victorian speculative fiction, blending elements of scientific curiosity with fantastical imagination. Written during an era when actual exploration was unveiling the mysteries of Africa, the Americas, and the polar regions, Lockwood's tale pushes beyond the boundaries of the known into a realm of pure imagination. The novel emerged at a time when scientific expeditions were making headlines and the public's appetite for tales of discovery was insatiable. Each underground civilization the Baron encounters serves as an intricate mirror reflecting different aspects of human nature and social organization. The transparent Mikamenkis, who cannot lie or hide their thoughts, represent an ideal of honesty and emotional openness. Their crystalline bodies literally making manifest the Victorian value of moral transparency. Their society functions without the need for laws or enforcement, as deception is physically impossible. The blind, deaf, and mute Pseudopsis, who have developed extraordinary tactile abilities, demonstrate humanity's remarkable capacity to adapt to limitations. Their elaborate system of touch-based communication and their mastery of underground navigation challenges conventional assumptions about disability and capability. The frozen Coltic Werps, preserving their way of life in an unchanging ice kingdom, reflect societies resistant to change and progress. Their rigid hierarchies and frozen customs serve as a critique of conservative Victorian social structures. while their technological achievements in ice manipulation suggest that even seemingly primitive societies may possess advanced knowledge in unexpected areas. The happy forgetters, who deliberately cultivate ignorance through selective memory erasure, satirize those who reject knowledge and intellectual growth, a particularly pointed commentary in an age that prided itself on scientific advancement. The novel explores complex themes of adaptation, communication across barriers, and the eternal tension between knowledge and happiness. Each underground society has adapted perfectly to its environment, developing unique technologies and social structures suited to their conditions. From the Mikamenki's light-based technology to the Tsuropsi's tactile architecture, the Baron must constantly find new ways to communicate with beings vastly different from himself, highlighting the universal challenges of cross-cultural understanding. Throughout his journey, he repeatedly encounters the question of whether knowledge brings happiness or merely complicates life, a philosophical dilemma that resonated strongly with Victorian readers grappling with rapid technological and social change. For modern readers, Baron Trump's adventures offer not just entertainment, but a window into the Victorian imagination. A world where the unknown still lay just beyond the next mountain range or beneath our very feet. The novel's underground societies serve as thought experiments about human potential and limitation, while their various technologies and social structures challenge readers to question their own assumptions about progress and civilization. In an age of global exploration and scientific discovery, Lockwood's underground world reminded readers that the most fascinating territories might be those that exist only in the mind.